I'm Perry Stone, and this is a very special Manifest telecast, not only this week, but next week, because I have a guest that in 25 years of the Manifest telecast, almost 26 years, has never appeared on a program. And there's a great transformation that took place, and it's my son, Jonathan Stone, better known as JG. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we've called him for years, JG. Jonathan, thank you for doing this.
Sure, yeah.
And we have co-authored a book together. I never thought that would ever happen. I never dreamed that would happen. But I want to do something special today because we're going to get into what I call breaking family addictions. And I want to interview Jonathan about this. And I want to begin by saying something very quickly. When Jonathan was 10 months old, it was Halloween night, and he was lying in the bed between his mother and I. And he began to choke, and he was actually vomiting up orange, I guess orange color, maybe food or something. I'm sure that's what it was. And then we turned on the light, got him up. But on his left and right temple, it looked like someone had taken their thumb and smeared blood on his left and right temple. And there was no blood on his fingers, no blood on us, of course. And I thought, what in the world has happened? And again, this was Halloween night. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but I told Pam, I said, what was that all about? And Jonathan entered into a battle for many, many years, almost 20 years. And part of it was a battle with addictions. And so we're going to, I'm just going to say this up front. Now, seeing the gift that God gave him that we're going to talk about more in the second video, or the second program, I should say, will explain to you the battle, the reason of the battle. And I call this a threat assessment, where the enemy reads a threat assessment with a gift or an ability or a calling in someone's life. Jonathan, let's go back. Go back to what you can remember as a kid. You traveled with us for how many years?
12,
on the road.
Probably. Yeah, right until Amanda was born.
Okay, about 12 years. And you had to actually live in mostly hotel rooms.
Hotels and houses, yeah. We stayed in some people's houses.
Well, the Edgemere places. Church, we stayed in
a
house. Did you like the hotels or the houses better? I've never asked you.
I mean, I remember the houses more than I do the hotels, so that's probably telling.
I do remember that they had a pool there, and you just stepped off into the water.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you remember that.
I don't remember that.
We're sitting in there, while Jonathan's outside, and he just walks over, and we have to go out there and rescue you from the water. I do want to recall a five-week
revival. I remember the big Heritage USA where I got stuck in the elevator. That was always exciting.
Yeah.
The water park, and they had the... Well, you know, they say now that that is all grown up, and it's like post-apocalyptic. Because no one has been there for 20 years.
That was a great place.
It was
place.
Great. Yeah, no one bought it, so it overgrew.
Place. Yeah. I want to say this to you, too. One time, we had adjoining rooms. Your mother was doing the laundry in Maryland. And I was studying. You got out the door. Your mother showed up and said, "Where's Jonathan?" And you actually had gotten on the elevator.
Yes, it was at Heritage.
And could not press the button. I have never forget. We've had some scary things that happened that thankfully, you know, God kept you through all that. Let me go back, because about 12 years of age, you went to a very good Baptist school here in town, private school.
And, did you say very good?
Well, you know,
that's what we're saying.
It was a school. It was good. I mean, you know, we knew the teachers, and they were good people, good teachers. But why you were there, and it wasn't the school's fault at all, but why you were there, you started experimenting with just, I guess, pills, or kind of take me back to that time of just kind of what happened there.
Well,
in your mind and your thinking.
I don't. You just get into. It's more discussions with people that you know, and then it's, oh, we're 17, this is the time, you know, time to try this, whatever, and then you just get into more of a social contract with people.
Is it peer pressure, or?
I don't think so.
Because
I think for the most part, if people claim peer pressure, they're looking for excuses to put their blame on someone else. It's always the person's, it's the individual's choice.
Yeah.
Blame is not ever a proper response to.
So you had gotten addicted, I guess it was to DXM, is that what it's called?
You go to the store and you buy something over the counter, and then there's nowadays it's even worse than when I was younger, because you've got a lot of gas station products that are heavily addictive. And people don't know this, right? It'll just sit there on the counter.
Yeah.
It'll say something like, hey, feel good. And then it'll have a research chemical, essentially, that's extremely addictive. China is shipping over in hordes, batches, these research chemicals that replicate existing drugs, if that makes sense. And they're highly addictive. There's no telling what's in this stuff. There's no telling what the long-term effects of it will be. And you've got a generation of people who are just buying this stuff from China and not even knowing what it is. It's readily available in the gas station. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a different time than when you had to go to the cough medicine aisle, right?
Yeah,
now
pharmacy.
You just go to the gas station. Yeah, go to the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to go to the drugstore.
Okay, let me go back to ask you this. Did you fight depression during that time? Was that part of the issue? Do you think?
From 18 to 22, for sure.
Yeah.
But that was all just choices that I had made leading to
depression. So let me ask you this. You got into alcohol and certain drugs at the same time. And when I say drugs, it wasn't necessarily going on the street and buying fentanyl, which kills people.
No,
it wasn't
anything
like that. It was just your over-the-counter, like you said, go to a store, buy a bunch of stuff. And I'm not going to give kids ideas, so...
Right. Eventually, it's just always a progression. It's always going to be a progression. So if you like the effect of one thing, it'll eventually stop working or work less, and then you'll have to transition to something else.
You have to keep up.
Alcohol, the problem with alcohol, the reason that it's the worst drug in America presently is it's readily available. I mean, that's just it.
Yeah.
But the second is that it's socially acceptable. So especially when they're 18 to 21, it's kind of a rite of passage. And then... what they don't tell you at 18 to 21 is that if you're genetically altered to be predisposed to addiction, then the fun that all your friends are having from 18 to 22 is not going to resolve at 22 like it will for everyone else. So
it carries on.
It carries on, right. So the people who can just leave it alone will have fun until they're 22, and then they'll get
a job. Or allegedly fun.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying.
But 18 to, and then 22... it's no problem. It's no
problem. They quit and move on with their job, get married.
And then you've got probably 20% of the population who says, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So what's the option?
Do you believe you had, and I have said this, I have a personality of, I don't even know how to say this, because I have a little bit of autism. You have a little spectrum of that too. I'm a workaholic, and I had to adjust that. It almost killed me, to be quite honest with you. You know that. You know the story. Do you think that they say one out of four people have an addictive personality? Do you think that is something that is part of, let's say, the genetics?
After talking with a lot of people, I'm convinced that the sins of the father passage is something more on the genetic level than it is a spiritual thing. It might even just be spiritual, you know, a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Not even a genetic thing. But I do think that the... Like, let's say you've got, you know, a womanizing grandfather, right?
Right.
I think that the son is likely to be womanizer, and I think that the
two or three generations.
The more that the sin goes along the generational line, I think it intensifies also on the...
Oh, yeah, I've seen that
on the children.
In families.
So almost in all cases that I've talked to people, it's always been...
And you've talked to a lot of people.
Yeah, and I always try to say, how'd you get here? Because people love telling you that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's just,
sure.
It's once you get...
In that circle.
And they accept
you because you've been through it.
That's exactly right. But ultimately you find that it's, my dad drank a lot and I hated it, and then I drank one time and it was over.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a lot of the time what happens. Or, people get in, they need solutions to problems. I mean, that's the main thing. If you've got someone who's struggling with addiction, you're trying to figure out why they're struggling with addiction, you got to figure out what caused
the root.
What caused the train to go off the track so you can get it back on track, ultimately.
You know, you're talking about the sins of the fathers. Now, thankfully, on, let's say, dad's side of the family, which is the Stone side, Great people, wonderful sisters. His sisters were the sweetest people. Grandma and Granddad Stone were very quiet, but they were very sweet people. But there was in that family about two or three cases of complete nervous breakdowns. So there, and even Granddad Stone, many years ago before he passed away, had a complete nervous breakdown. And Dad, my dad, who was a minister, had to go and minister to his own father there in West Virginia. So that there is something that, and it goes back not just to Dad's family. It can go back even before that, where you hear great-grandma, great-great-grandma, and you think, really? Wow, there was something there. And then on the Bavis side, which is the Italian side, the family, not the family themselves, like Granddad and the kids of Granddad, and Joe Bava had 10 kids, which was my uncle, Granddad's brother. From the original side, which was Pete Bava, he came from Italy from the toe of the boot, and they were very much into drinking. In fact, during Prohibition, I've been told this. I did not know anything about this, but I've been told this from family members that are older, that when Granddad Bava came over here, there was something called the Black Hands that had originated in Sicily. And the Black Hands were like the mafia. And I'm not going to go into the details of all that. Anybody in the Italian family watching me from New Jersey and New York and Chicago will know what the Black Hands were. And it's not that they were black in color, but they used coal dust or ink to give their warnings. Then later he became, and we have pictures of papers of this with his signature. He later became connected with the Sons of Italy in Thomas, West Virginia, with people that we knew growing up, all these Italian families that we kids knew growing up, and they became very protective. But Granddad Bava was involved with alcohol, where they made moonshine. I had a little, this is like 1915. One of Pete's sons got into the alcohol and drank it and was poisoned. I have his death certificate to this day. I found it at my Aunt Millie's house. And so the alcohol we can see what tried to get into the family, and it did get into some of the Stone side. So I can see how that, I don't want to make everything a spirit, you know what I mean? But there maybe, and I don't want to make it genetic necessarily. It's like you said, some of this could be just totally spiritual. Some of this is a mixture of genetics and spirituality.
I think that there's enough, doctors over the years who have kind of proven that it is prone to genetics.
Right.
So then you have to ask, what causes that? Right.
Yeah.
And I just look back at the, what is the scripture? The whole earth's DNA had become corrupt. That might actually be an Enoch
Genesis.
So the whole earth's DNA has become
all
corrupt.
All flesh was corrupt.
All flesh was corrupted.
Noah's day.
And then I think Christ says that, so the implication in that verse, and I hate to get into the Nephilim discussion.
Yeah, the giants.
But yes, yeah, the giants.
It's
corrupted
to the giants.
DNA of the entire earth. They flood the earth. Christ says, you had them back then, you'll have them in the future, which is a very interesting passage.
Yeah, as in the days of Noah, it'll be repeated. That's right.
And then there's actually a very interesting, I think, premise that someone theorized that autism, as we understand autism, is a genetic deformity that they believe stems from these bodies of Neanderthals that they're
finding. Didn't you read that about Clemson University study on that?
They said it was
That's all theoretical.
Yeah, but they're saying that there was some kind of DNA corruption back in the Neanderthal days, which we believe to be billions of years old, which I don't know that we'd buy into that.
No, right. It would be the giants.
Carbon dating is the issue.
Yeah, it would be the giants.
Yeah, yeah, I think they're finding, I think that a lot of these Neanderthals are, they don't appear to be human because maybe they're not. Maybe it's a half breed and they're finding these
demigods.
Yeah, demigods. Yeah, and then they're finding these guys, and now they're saying that the DNA of these guys seem to have caused corruption that's presently causing issues with mental health addiction.
In those days, the corruption was the race of giants in the earth that helped cause the flood. God brought the flood because of it. And now we see a repeat of something happening in the genetics
that seems
to have effect on certain families.
Right. And so my theory on this is that if all the giants are wiped out in the flood and David, right? I think that's what we
David's
see.
Day.
Yeah, David
kills the rest of them. Yeah.
What that means is that at some point we've gotten into DNA manipulation, right?
Yeah.
We have to. So I think that if we look back at the beginning of autism, it's like 1900 is when they first start saying there's something different about these kids, right?
And it's amazing because you and I have a spectrum of it, but you're good.
I think it's the majority of the world right now.
Yeah,
I think that.
Well, you're a genius. You're a genius in an area. I mean, I just have to admit it. I have focused on the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So yours is computers, technology, understanding how it fits with the scripture is mm-hmm. amazing. You amaze me just saying, "Why? Where did you come up with that?" And you've told me sometimes late at night that you kind of stay up when the three grandbabies go to bed, you know, your children, and you have the Lord speak to you and give you downloads, and it comes out of nowhere, and you come to me. You come to me with it. And I said, "Jonathan, that is amazing. That's how that's going to happen." And that's why we wrote the book, Children of the Apocalypse. I said, "You got to put a little bit of this in what you're telling me."
Yeah, there's a couple of things. Like there's a guy currently, I think it's Lionheart Church. I'm not sure his name. I haven't found his name yet, but he's an African-American preacher, real straight.
Straightforward.
Yeah, straightforward. And so he made the claim, and this is kind of the same line of thinking that I've been on, that linguistically, if you look at the two places that it talks about the beast image, the image of the beast, mm-hmm. it's in Daniel and it's in Revelation.
Yeah.
Both times it's defined as a statue, correct?
Yeah.
So he made the claim that statue, if seen in an apocalyptic way, you know, pre-modernity, statue would be linguistically the same as robot, right? It's a appearance of a man given life.
Yeah,
right.
In Revelation 13.
Revelation 13.
Yeah.
So from Daniel's perspective, he sees something that looks like a man made of iron that's moving.
Right.
Traditionally, we would call that a robot.
Hmm.
Right. So mm-hmm. if you look at Revelation and you say that the beast gives the statue life, what they're saying is it's a humanoid-like thing that looks like a statue, but Daniel says it's moving and breathing and living, and they're worshiping it, essentially.
Yeah. Everyone's, yeah, the beast.
Yeah,
the
he says he's God, and then that's what kind of stirs everything
up. And you
have
to worship it.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, they're going to kill. Yeah, they're going to kill you otherwise.
Yeah. So this is. Let me go back to this because I want to stay on. We're going to talk more about that the next one. What was the root of your conflict with addiction? You have to have a root. What do you think it was?
I just wanted to see what it was all about. I mean, that was really it.
You think there's kids out there the same way? Some.
Yeah, experimental kids. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, ultimately, the problem becomes. Truthfully, if you got a kid who's drinking or smoking or whatever, that's not necessarily the end of the world.
Right.
Does that make sense? The problem becomes if something happens because of that, and then you've got a drop in mood or lifestyle, whatever it is that you see a drop in because of a breakup or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Then the solution that originally fixed everything becomes the new solution, which can lead to another drop, right? But there's no bottom. That's one of the terminology that they say, right? You got to reach rock bottom.
Yeah,
not necessarily true. There's always going to be lower. There's always going to be higher. So you can determine this is the lowest I want to be.
Yeah, you have to choose.
You have to choose that. This is rock bottom.
Yeah.
But don't expect
what helped you
to wake up on the side of the road missing a leg.
Yeah,
and that be rock. You know.
Yeah.
Because you'll get to where you are missing your other leg too if you wait long enough.
Well, let me ask you this. You went to a clinic in Chattanooga for 30 days?
Yeah, yeah.
That helped you, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Rehab.
I mean, it really
was helpful,
did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what all the rock stars
but
say.
What, he cracks me up sometimes. Let me ask you this. What was the turning point for you last year? Was it, you went through a prayer line at Warrior Fest. I love Warrior Fest, our youth event. What happened? Did you actually feel the Lord for the first time?
At home more so, but I had been working on a book forever.
Yeah.
And I went through that prayer line and I went home and I was like, oh, that's the whole plot. It was just in my head.
Like it came to you.
Oh, it was just there.
Yeah.
It's like it had been there for 10 years.
Yeah.
But it just, everything made sense and it was just very strange. Yep. And so I sat down and I said, Katie, this is like the whole thing. Like I'd have been working on this for 15 years or whatever. And
so like God just opened up your understanding. It's
the
Lord's helping me.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely like, I call it a quickening era. If we're looking at 6 years until Christ returns, I think it's a possibility based on the trajectory we're currently on.
True.
You know, 6 years, I'm not putting dates on anything, but just saying into the 2030s,
right.
Then anything that you're set out to do,
it's time to do it.
It's time to do it, and it will be done.
Wow, that's powerful.
He'll get it done.
How important it is for parents never to give up on their kids. I mean, we prayed for you for 20 years,
Jonathan. I think it's more important just to accept them where they're at. That's more important than...
Love them.
Yeah, they can yell at you, but you got to still have them at your house.
Yeah.
You got to figure out why they're yelling at you. Figure that out. Because it's not necessarily just the substance. That's not... You got to look past that, right?
Okay.
For like a long time. Not forever, because if you've got someone who is like, let's say, a fentanyl addict, right? Which is very common, extraordinarily common.
Yeah.
They need help, they're going to die. That's the situation.
So it's a serious thing.
It just depends. You've got to really figure out if you're interested in getting them help, you got to be friends with them so they'll tell you what they're using.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's the main point.
Whereas don't holler all the time.
That's right.
Talk.
Exactly right.
Sit down and talk.
You as a parent are the only person who actually will care about that kid. You may find a doctor, but you're paying that doctor.
Right.
You may find a therapist, but you're paying that therapist. You may find a pastor, but the pastor's got 1,000 other people to worry about.
Right.
So you as the parent are the only person that can stop this.
That's good.
It doesn't put the ball in your court saying if your son or child doesn't recover or sadly, maybe has an accident and an overdose, that doesn't mean you're responsible for that. But it does mean you're the only person that in the morning will wake up and think, where is that person?
And care about him.
And care about him.
Yeah.
And just by design, that's how it's all
Well, I want to say this. I'm so grateful our prayers have been answered. And you're involved with ministry. You're really involved with ministry. And on the next program, we're going to get into the book. And I'm going to ask you, how in the world did a kid who didn't care a word about prophecy get involved with prophecy? We're going to find out. So part two is coming up next week, but we want to get you in on pre-ordering the book that Jonathan and I wrote, autographed edition, only available through the ministry. So watch this right now.
Are you raising children in our increasingly dangerous, deceptive, and apocalyptic world? How do you protect them from spiritual darkness and the schemes of the enemy? How do you protect yourself, your family, and your church, and stand firm as the storms intensify?
Hello, this is Perry Stone, and I'm excited to announce that my son Jonathan and I have completed our first co-authored prophetic book, Children of the Apocalypse. This powerful 24-chapter, 277-page volume is overflowing with transformational prophetic insight and includes urgent, practical protocols for you, your city, your church, and your children. 12 of the 24-chapter topics include Cribs in the Crossfire, Pornography, the Electronic Seduction, Infants, Children, and Pregnant Women at the Time of the Rapture, Secrets to Protective Prayers, Beware of Becoming a Scammer's Victim, Preparing for a Sudden Societal Breakdown, Forming an Apocalyptic Family Plan, Protocols and Wisdom to Outwit an Attacker, Protecting Your Church, Your Ministry, and Your Congregation, Dangerous Places to Be Living When the Birth Pains Begin, When Is It Time to Flee to the Mountains, The Curve That Rules the Beast, The Babel Effect, and so much more. I want you to order now and receive a limited first edition copy personally signed by myself, Perry Stone, and my son, Jonathan. As a special bonus, you will receive the new 2-hour series available on CD or digital download, in which I will present compelling evidence that we are now entering the major birth pain cycle of 2026 and beyond, along with another powerful message unleashing the new pre-tribulation signs. This signed edition of Children of the Apocalypse is available exclusively through Perry Stone Ministries. I want you to order online at perrystone.org, or you can call toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, and request offer CA-153 for your donation of $30 or more. Or you can mail in your request for the offer number CA-153 to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Your copy is waiting, so please contact us today. I will promise you will glean powerful new information and prophetic content. And I love the protocols because we're going to teach you how to be an overcomer and how to deal with the serious challenges that are lying ahead as we are now entering the final cycle of the major birth pains before the return of the Lord. I am looking forward to hearing from you. And remember, your giving helps keep Manifest on the air.
Okay, folks, this is the opportunity. First edition book written by myself and my son, Jonathan. First time he's ever participated. The last four chapters are insights that he wants to give you. The protocols in this book are incredible. I had a man who has published thousands of books. Look at this, read it, and say, Perry, this may be one of the most interesting right now books that's anywhere available. So I want you to get your first edition signed copy. Now, you can get the book by itself and it will be signed if you order it through Voice of Evangelism, or if you want to get the Manifest offer, which includes the 2 hour of teaching, that book will be signed as well. So this is why we're pre-ordering, to give Jonathan and I plenty of time to sign literally thousands of copies of this book just for you. So do that now. Real quick, Warrior Fest at the end of March. Be sure and register if you're coming. Also, I'm coming to One City Church in Beaumont, Texas, April 10th, 11th, and 12th. Love Pastor Felshaw. We're looking forward to that. And don't forget to register for the International Prophetic Summit. It will be the greatest summit. We have new speakers. Rick Renner's coming. Jeremiah Johnson's coming. Dr. Cutshaw's going to minister. Jonathan Kahn. Be sure and don't miss this, the best conference of the year. See you next week.
If you are a student of Bible prophecy, or maybe just someone who wants to know what in the world is going on, then you don't want to miss the 2026 Prophetic Summit at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee, April 22nd through the 26th. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Joseph Z., Rick Renner, Jeremiah Johnson, Bill Cloud, Brian Cutshaw, Jonathan Kahn, and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Visit perrystone.org for more details. Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.